Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time. Tea time lecture.
The end of it all. Part 2. Give me my spear, said King Arthur unto Sir Lucan upon seeing Sir Mordred. Sir, let him be, answered Sir Lucan. Remember your dream, and leave off by this. For blessed be God, you have won the field, and we three be alive, and of the others none is alive, save Sir Mordred himself. If you leave off now, the day of destiny is past. Tide me death, tide me life, said the king. He shall not escape my hands, for a better chance I shall never have. And he took his spear in both hands and ran towards Sir Mordred, crying, Traitor, now is your death day come, and smote him under the shield, so that the spear went through his body. And when Sir Mordred felt he had his death wound, he raised himself up and struck King Arthur such a blow that the sword clave his helmet, and he fell stark dead on the earth again. When Sir Lucan and Sir Bedivere saw that sight, they carried the king to a little chapel, but they hoped not to leave him there long, for Sir Lucan had noted that many people were stealing out to rob the slain of the ornaments on their armor, and those that were not dead already they slew. Would that I could quit this place to go to some large town, said the king when he had heard this, but I cannot stand, my head works so. Ah, Lancelot, sorely have I missed thee. At that, Sir Lucan and Sir Bedivere tried to lift him, but Sir Lucan had been grievously wounded in the fight, and the blood burst forth again as he lifted Arthur, and he died and fell at the feet of the king. Alas, said the king, he has died for my sake, and he had more need of help than I. But he would not complain. His heart was so set to help me, and I should sorrow yet more if I were still to live long. But my time flieth fast. Therefore, Sir Bedivere, cease moaning and weeping, and take Excalibur, my good sword, and go with it to yonder waterside. And when you get there, I charge thee, throw my sword in that water, and come back again, and tell me what you have seen. My lord, answered Sir Bedivere, your commandment shall be done. And he departed. But when he looked at that noble sword, he beheld the jewels and gold that covered the pommel and hilt. He said to himself, if I throw this rich sword into the water, no good will come of it, but only harm and loss. So he hid Excalibur under a tree and returned unto the king and told him his bidding was done. What did you see there? Asked the king. Sir, answered Sir Bedivere, I saw nothing but the winds and the waves. You have not dealt truly with me, said the king. Go back and do my command. Spare not, but throw it in. But again Sir Bedivere's heart failed him, and he hid the sword and returned to tell the king he had seen nothing but the one water. Ah, traitor, cried Sir Arthur, this is twice you have betrayed me. If you do not now fulfill my bidding, with my own hands I will slay you, for you would gladly see me dead for the sake of my sword. Then Sir Bedivere was shamed at having disobeyed the king, and drew forth the sword from its hiding place, and carried it to the waterside, and with a mighty swing threw it far into the water. And as it flew through the air, an arm and hand lifted itself out of the water and caught the hilt, and brandished the sword 3 times, and vanished with it beneath the water. So Sir Bedivere came again unto the king and told him what he saw. Alas, said the king, help me hence, for I have tarried over long. And Sir Bedivere took him on his back and bore him to the waterside. And when they stood by the bank, a little barge containing many fair ladies and a queen all in black hoods drew near, and they wept and shrieked when they beheld King Arthur. Now put me into the barge, said the king. And Sir Bedivere laid him softly down, and the ladies made great mourning, and the barge rowed from the land. Ah, my lord Arthur, cried Sir Bedivere, what shall become of me now you go from me, and I am left here alone with my enemies? Comfort yourself, replied the king, and do as well as you may, for I go unto the valley of Avilion to be healed of my grievous wound. And if you never more hear of me, pray for my soul. But Sir Bedivere watched the barge till it was beyond his sight, and then he rode all night till he came to a hermitage. Now, when Queen Guinevere heard of the battle, and how that King Arthur was slain, and Sir Mordred, and all their knights, she stole away, and five ladies with her, and rode to Amesbury. And there she put on clothes of black and white, and became a nun, and did great penance, and many alms deeds, and people marvelled at her and at her godly life. And ever she wept and moaned over the years that were past, and for King Arthur. As soon as the messenger whom the king had sent with Sir Gawain's letter reached Sir Lancelot, and he learned that Sir Mordred had taken for himself the crown of England, he rose up in wrath, and calling Sir Bors, bid him collect their host, that they should pass at once over the sea to avenge themselves on that false knight. A fair wind blew them to Dover, and there Sir Lancelot asked tidings of King Arthur. Then the people told him that the king was slain, and Sir Mordred, and 100,000 men besides, and that the king had buried Sir Gawain in the chapel at Dover Castle. Fair sirs, said Sir Lancelot, show me that tomb. And they showed it to him, and Sir Lancelot knelt before it, and wept and prayed, and this he did for 2 days. On the third morning he summoned before him all the great lords and leaders of his host, and said to them, fair lords, I thank you all for coming here with me, but we come too late, and that will be bitter grief to me as long as I shall live. But since it is so, I will myself ride and seek my lady Guinevere in the west country, where they say she has gone, and tarry you there, I entreat you, for 15 days, and if I should not return, take your ships and depart into your own country. Sir Bors strove to reason with him that the quest was fruitless, and that in the west country he would find few friends, but his words availed nothing. For 7 days Sir Lancelot rode, and at last he came to a nunnery, where Queen Guinevere was looking out from her lattice, and was ware of his presence as he walked in the cloister.